book of Exodus, chapter number 24. I want to preface the message this evening. This is a message that I've gone over in Sunday school about a year ago, I think it was. I don't believe it was 2 years ago. I do know it was around Thanksgiving time. As I was going through my notes, I made some mentions about being Thanksgiving. And we went over this in Sunday school. It was kind of a detour from my Sunday school lesson. It was just something that God has had heavy on my heart. And I knew when we went over it in Sunday school, God was having me do that. But I also knew that there would be a time that God would have me to stand behind this pulpit and teach to our church family. And that would be tonight that God has led me to bring this message, a very simple message. Let me get turned on here. We're just going to read one verse, and it's just a simple thought, but it's just something that every time God reminds me of it, every time I come across this passage of scripture, God just, it's something that I realize that I slip up so often. It's a truth that I feel that if we just get a hold of it, can really change our lives, can really help our gratitude. Pastor's been teaching on Sunday mornings about gratitude, about a few things, about, you know, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. And that is, he mentioned, being a core values of a Christian life. And it's something that we can fail at so often. And this passage of scripture that you'll see it when I get to it. It's just so simple. It's actually three words. And if my Sunday school class, if you can remember me teaching it, that would be encouraging to me. Meant that it stuck with you. But it was just three words that come into this verse here in Exodus 24 that to a simple-minded person, you would think, you know what, those three words don't need to be there. They're highly unnecessary. You could take those three words out and the verse would read the same to a simple-minded person that doesn't realize that the Word of God has no mistakes, that God doesn't put empty words in the Bible, that if God puts something there, it's for a reason, and cause you to search and to study and maybe to see why God put those words there and come to the conclusion that I hope we can come to this evening. There is a big reason why those words are there. And again, I hesitate because of how simple this is, a simple truth, but it's something that I think would greatly help us. So I want to read this one verse, and I'm going to ask you to stand. We're in Exodus chapter 24. As I read this verse, I want you to search. As I'm reading it, I mentioned that there's three words that to a simple-minded person you would think, they don't need to be there. Remove those words, the verse will say the same thing. And they're not spread out. They're three. It's a group of words. It's a phrase here that's mentioned that's made up of three words that again, we'll look at it as after we read it, we'll pray. And then I want you just to see if you could pick those three words out. And then I'm going to share with you what God has put on my heart. Exodus 24, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, God, for all you do for us. I want to thank you, God, for your word, Lord, that it is powerful, that we have gathered here this evening, God, to hear from you, to hear from your word, which we know can change lives because it has changed our life, God. And I pray this evening that you would speak through your word. I pray this evening that the Holy Spirit of God, you would move amongst us. Help us to get what you would have for us, God. Help us to follow your lead. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to ask those that possibly in my Sunday school class that might remember this lesson that you would not answer this question, but in case you was not in my Sunday school class and we read this and you say, you know what, it stood out to me. I see those three words. Does anyone see what they are, Brother Philip? And be there. And be there. So let's read this verse, removing those three words, and see if it says anything different. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and I will give thee tables of stone, and the law, and the commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Sounds perfectly fine, does it not? And it makes you wonder, why would God put those three words in there and be there? When you're somewhere, aren't you there? You are where you are. Wherever you are, that's where you're at. So why would God say, come up here and be there? It seems redundant. It seems like it's highly unnecessary to say that. But God knows man. Have you ever been somewhere and not truly been there? So God knows how we are. God told Moses, Moses, I want you to come up to me in the mount, and I want all of you to be there. This is important, what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the law. You're going to need to teach them to the people, and I need all of you there. I don't need just your body there. I need your mind there. I need your full attention, Moses. So when he said, Moses, come up to me in a mountain, he says, and be there. And be there. I don't need just some of you there. I need all of you there. We can get that way. We've been there. I think all of you, when I asked that question, you said, nah, I've done that. Possibly even right now. Some of you worked a long day at work and you're tired and you're thinking about that bed or you're thinking about that easy chair at home. And though you're sitting here in a Bible-believing church with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we just heard a wonderful song talking about God never failing and God's always faithful and God's always powerful and God, you know, that there's never been a time that he's not God, and we not be here fully. Yeah, we're here, but we not be here fully. We get a little bit of that. How many times have you sang a hymn? It's just a song that you've sang hundreds of times, and you know it by heart, and you're saying the words, you're singing the words, but you're not there. I mean, if you were truly there, you'd be rejoicing. You'd have a smile on your face as you know that the truths of the words of that song that you're singing are about our great God. But you're not there. And so I feel like God tells us, hey, come to church and be there. God was saying to Moses, we have some very important things to discuss, and I need all of you there. I need your full attention. I don't need you to just be present. I need you to be there. I mean, Moses was going to be in the very presence of God. He called Moses out amongst all those people. He was the leader of over a million people. And he called Moses out and said, Moses, I want you to come up to the mount and I'm going to meet with you. To be in the presence of God. And God had to say, Moses, when you're there, be there. Be there. Thinking about that, when we kneel in prayer, and we're going to have that prayer time here and a little bit after the end of the service, we go to the throne of God to get to his very presence. Do you realize that? That the creator of heaven and earth has invited us to come to his presence? And sometimes we just throw out our prayer requests like we're reciting a list and get up off our knees and go about our day. How about when we pray, we be there? And realize how great a privilege that is to be in the presence of God. Moses, I need you there, and I need you to be there. So what about you? Again, this is just a simple, simple message. But there's so much, if we break this down, there's so many times where we're just not there. And if we truly were, our hearts would be filled with gratitude of every blessing that God gives us. For example, right now we're sitting in the church, as I mentioned, where the word of God is preached freely. You know, there's places around this globe where people are begging to be able to do what we're doing right now. They don't have a Bible. They can't go to church and just openly meet in a church service where people can sing about God and people can preach about God. We met our missionaries who showed us pictures and showed us slides of the meetings they meet in people's houses and how they had to meet sometimes underground. And we've heard the stories of the police coming in and breaking up the church service. But we're here in a country where we could do this freely, where we can come together and hear the word of God preached and hear the singing about God. But how many times do we come here and we're not here? We're somewhere else altogether. Maybe we're thinking about work. I know work can be, you know, we have the cares of this world that we have on us, but when we come to the presence of God and we come to hear the word of God, we shouldn't have those things weighing on us. We shouldn't have those things distracting us from where we are. The devil would want nothing more than to keep us distracted and not be there. So you have your job and you have those things at work, but when you come to the presence, you come to church, be there. When you're hearing the word of God preach, be there. Every time you open the word of God, be there. Do you realize that this King James Bible that you hold in your lap, that you didn't have a hard time getting, you didn't have to hide it to come to church, do you realize the blood that drips from these pages? Do you realize the people that were burned at the stake, the people that were put into prison, the people that tried to shut them up? They tried to do everything they could to keep the work from going forward, to get the Bible into our language, those people that died so we can have a Bible. And when we open this book that so many people beg to have, so many people desire to know the truth, and we have it right here, be there. I know it was a challenge when we accepted that challenge, and many of you did, to read 10 chapters a day, to read through the whole New Testament in 26 days, if you took the 10 chapters a day. And some of you, maybe it took a little longer, and you're still working on it. Maybe you've completed it by now. But to be able to read that, do you realize what a privilege it was? That you can open the Word of God and read 10 chapters of the Word of God that day? Some of us might have took it and said, man, it's a chore, but I think everyone that took that challenge can testify and say, hey, I'm better off for it. But maybe at the time you're reading, it's like, man, I just got to get my 10 chapters in. And it might have seemed like a chore, but do you realize the privilege that was? That you have a Bible. That you have a Bible in your language that you can go and open it and read 10 chapters of the Bible that day. When you read the Word of God, be there. You have a complete copy. There were people that we read about in this book that didn't have a complete copy of the Word of God. They had the revelation that God had given them and the revelation God had given people before them. They had maybe the Psalms and the prophets, but they didn't have the complete Bible. No one in the Bible had a complete Bible. And we read about them and the wonderful things that they did, but they didn't have the same privilege that we have when we can open the complete canon of the scripture and read it and share it with our family. Be there. How about when you spend time with your family? You've probably heard it said, and I want to remind you of this thought, especially around Thanksgiving time, and we're less than a week away from Thanksgiving last Thursday. What if you woke up this morning with only the things you thank God for yesterday? What would you have? Would you have your whole family and the people that are sitting here now that are missing someone from their family because they've gone on and they can't spend another day with them? What would you spend? What would you give for another day? What would you give for another chance to have a Thanksgiving meal with that loved one? To have a dinner, just a regular dinner. It doesn't even have to be a Thanksgiving dinner. Just to be able to sit down and have another meal with someone that you love. But you had that opportunity today. Were you there? Were you sitting down at the dinner table with your family on your phone reading through nonsense? If you never had another chance, another opportunity, would you look back and say, man, I wish I was there. I wish I was there. I wish I was looking and just soaking in every second, every minute I get to spend with the people I love. Be there. Some of us parents, again, so simple, but every time I'm reminded of this, God just convicts me. We have our children only for a little while. Whether they move out, move away, whatever it may be. How many opportunities have we missed to be there? Some parents that are a little older and your children have moved away, moved out, and you don't get to see them every day. What would you give to have that time again? And those of us that have that time and that privilege every single day, let's be there. Let's be there for our children. Let's be present. The things that happen at work, the dumb entertainment stuff that we get distracted by and we get caught up in, it means nothing. When you weigh it against your family, when you weigh it against your children, let's be there. Let's be there. Again, why would God say that to Moses? Because he knows how we are. He knows exactly how we are, and we all can go through this list and say, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty. I'm not being there. Moses, you're going to do something so important. You're going to be in the presence of God, getting the law of God, and you got to give it to the people of God. I want you to come up into the mount and have this great privilege. But Moses, I got to remind you, when you're there, be there. Dads, you get that great privilege of being with your son or daughter. But sometimes God has to remind us, hey, be there. When you're with your wife, and wives, when you're with your husband, what a privilege it is to be able to be married and to have that love and the fellowship and the relationship that God allows us to have. Be there. You think, why should we have to remind ourselves of that? Because we have to remind ourselves of that. Because we're so often we get distracted and we put other things first and we do things that don't matter. What could have been more important to Moses than to being in the presence of God? But God had to tell him, Moses, be there. And God has to tell us, be there. So when you're with your family, be there. When you head to work tomorrow. Have you ever been without work? So, oh, I hate my job. Have you ever been without work? And every day that goes by without the income, the resources get depleted a little more and a little more and a little more, and things get tighter and tighter, and you're begging God, God, I need a job. God, I need a job, but tomorrow you got a job. And you're going to work. and that work's going to pay you a paycheck. And though you may look and always be looking for the greener grass, how about when you're going to work, you could say, God, thank you. Thank you for this job. Thank you for the privilege and the ability that I can go to work and have the strength to go to work. And how about when you go to work, be there, realizing that that is a blessing from God. If you've ever been without work, yeah, you realize. Sometimes it don't take long for us to forget, but I've been without. God's been faithful, but things get a little tight, and you like praying all the time, God, can you help me get back to work? Can you bring in a steady paycheck? But many of us have that privilege every week. Be there. How about when you sit down for a meal? You ever been without? Probably most of us. No. We've never gone to that cupboard and opened it and be nothing there. And your family be hungry and you want to be able to put a meal and some food on a plate for your family and there be nothing there. But you know there are people today that have empty cupboards. Some people don't have any cupboards to put anything in. But God has blessed us. When we sit down for that meal and we say a prayer to give thanksgiving, it shouldn't be just a quick, thank you, God. How about be there and realize that is a blessing from a Heavenly Father that loves you, that He would put that food on your plate. How about when you're with a dear friend? You ever been lonely? Needing somebody and having nobody to turn to? Nobody being there for you? Most of us, again, could say, no, I've never been there. I've had good friends. I've had people that I know I could call on if I ever needed something, and they would be there. But when you had that time with that good friend, be there. Realize there are people that are lonely. Pastor mentioned it, I guess it was Wednesday. Realize that there are people. Maybe their family and friend, they're not near any friends and their family's passed on. And he said, you know, it's not good for anyone to be lonely. But if you have a good friend, be there. Be thankful that God has given you a dear friend. There's a couple of these that I think would go together. But when you turn on a light switch, you ever been without power? I think all of us could say, I've been there. And every time I turn a light switch on, you know, I normally don't even think about it. I want the lights on, I flip the switch, and I go do what I'm trying to do. But we don't think about it until we flip that switch and nothing happens. And we're like, oh, we're out of power. And at that point, you realize what you lost and how great a blessing and how great a privilege it is to have electricity. When you could plug something into the socket and it works. But again, we do it and don't even think about it. Instead of when we flip that switch and the light comes on, we don't say, thank you, God. Thank you that I have electricity. Thank you that I have the resources in this house to do what I need to do, that give me light so I can see, to power whatever that I need to power, to those things. So when you plug something in the socket, when you turn a light switch on, be there. I mean, you're so thankful for it when it comes back on. Some people, maybe you've been without because you didn't have the money to pay the bill, to keep the lights on. And then when God provides it, oh, you're so thankful then. But again, we forget so easily. We can forget so easily. And so when we just turn the switch on, we just go about and forget. We forget. I don't know how many times I've done it. Flipping a switch and I'm not there. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do, and my mind's somewhere else, but that little simple act is a blessing every time that light comes on. Every time you plug something in, that's a blessing from God. And when we go without, again, if you only had today what you gave thanks for yesterday, what would you have? Would the lights work? would the water turn on when you, would it come out the faucet when you turn the knob? You ever been without water? How inconvenient that is. We think of it as an inconvenience when we don't have it instead of the blessing when we do. Especially the hot water. When that hot water comes out and you take a hot shower, a hot bath, and again, how many times have we done it and not been there? We're thinking about what I need to do, what I got to hurry up and get ready for work. I got to hurry up and do this. I got to get out the door. And we're taking that nice warm shower, turning the faucet on to be able to brush our teeth inside the house and all these things that we're not there. We're somewhere else, and we don't give God thanks for those little things. When you go home this evening, after church and you walk through that door, be there. There's a roof over your head and over your family's head that holds in heat in your house that you can go in and then have a warm house. But how many times have we walked through the door of our house and not been there? We do that every day. We go home every day. It's nothing new. But if we would just be there, walk to that house and say, thank you, God. Whether you're renting, whether you own, it doesn't matter. You have a roof over your head. That is a blessing of God. I don't have a big house. You have a house. I don't have nice cars, but you have a car. How many times you gotten in that car and turned the key and just gone about your day and you never were there? Didn't thank God once that the car started, that you had money to put gas in the tank, that you had a car to get you where you needed to go, to get to work or to get to church or get your children to school. And how many times do we do things over and over and over and we're there, but we're not there? And so three simple words. When you walk in your house, go home and be there. Sit at your dinner table and be there. Spend time with your family and be there. Read your Bible and be there. Come to church and be there. Pray and be there. When you open up your closet door, and most of us have so much stuff that won't even fit in a closet. We got it in boxes and we got it in drawers and we complain about what we don't have instead of being there and looking at the blessings that God has given us. To have a closet full and running over. To have a dresser full and running over. How blessed we are. But how many times do we not realize it because we're not there? We're not there. We're not truly where God is wanting us to be. You know, if I would just follow this teaching, if I would just follow what God was doing here with Moses and just apply it to everything in my life, I would be 100 times more grateful. I wouldn't be complaining about things that didn't work quite right. I'd be thankful that I had it in the first place. When the car messes up, it was so inconvenienced. But we never thank God for the 250 times that it worked this month, that we needed it to. When we turned that faucet on, how many times have we turned that faucet on and it worked and we just never were grateful for it? Because we're not there. We're not there. Some of you can remember and testify, you know, I've had a time where we didn't have running water. Maybe you grew up that way. I know a lot of elderly people will tell the stories of, yeah, we fetched the water out the well and we brought it in and heated the water up on the stove and everyone took a bath in the same pot in the middle of the kitchen floor. You've heard the stories and maybe you've experienced it. But you get to go and just turn a faucet. How simple is that? You don't have to go strike the light the fire and get the heater going. It's already right now. My house, the water's being heated right now, ready for me for whenever I go home. You know, I got a fridge at home making ice for me right now. How many times have I gone to the fridge and took, or the freezer and took ice out and never, man, I'm thankful for that. You remember there was a day that people used to have to order ice and get delivered to them. You had the ice man come by and bring a big block of ice to you. We don't have to do that. We don't have to go fetch the water from the well. Hey, how about when you need to, when nature calls in the middle of the night? You don't have to, especially in a cold night like this, to go out to the path out back. You got a room right in your house that you can use a restroom and running water and all that. How many times do we enjoy the blessings of God, but we're not there? We're not there to be thankful. I mean, to thank. If we just list, you know, we list during Thanksgiving everything we're thankful for, and yes, it's family and friends and food and things like that, but there's so much more that God has done that we just let slip until we're without. And sometimes God has to do it that way. Maybe next time you lose power, maybe that's God saying, hey, I just want you to realize how blessed you are. Say, thank you, God, for all the times you've given me power. I'm not going to complain about this one time that I'm without. Thank you, God, for all the times that I've had water. I'm not going to complain and gripe and complain and say how inconvenient it is for this one time I'm without. You've been so good to me, God. And I've failed over and over and over to lift my hands in praise and say thank you. I don't expect everyone to go outside and start the car and, oh, praise the Lord. But we ought to have that heart rejoice evermore to think God's been good to us. God has been good to us despite the fact that we're ungrateful. He continues to be good to us over and over and over. If you just think about the things that have happened today that you didn't give God thanks for, but yet he gave it to you anyways. Why? Because he's good. Like the song the Freemen sing, he's good like that. He is. He's a good God. Despite us, he's a good God. And we ought to be there. We ought to be there more and more often to realize just how good God is. I didn't name every single thing. I mentioned a lot just to get us thinking. How many times have we been there, but we're not there? We had the privilege to come to an altar, and that's coming to God, whether it be the altar of your heart or an actual physical altar at the church. You're coming to God and have that privilege that he's even told us in his word. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly, and you can receive mercy, and you can receive help in a time of need. And he's told us that we can come to him. We bring our requests one to another, and we'll do that here in a minute. Don't be somewhere else. So I'm just going to mention my request. I'll be there. Be where we're at, that you're in the presence of God, that you know that there is a loving Heavenly Father that is hearing your request. Well, we can't see him, but be there. Doesn't mean you're not in his presence. It doesn't mean he's not there. It doesn't mean he's not listening. We know the truth. We know that he's bent his ear to listen, to hear the prayers of his children. Be there. Be there. Let's all stand. It's only one verse that I read, and I really was only focusing on those three words because how simple, but yet how deep, that God would have to tell us, when you're there, be there.